Hallelujah. Just so your hands aren't seated. And they stay shoulder high, maybe. We'd worship a little bit more. I love it. Oh, Father, I glorify and magnify and exalt you and lift you up. How can we say thanks? How can we say thanks? What a delight to have a lifetime to find out about that love that you loved us with and loose it on the world. And, oh, Father, we give you all the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I magnify and glorify and lift you up. Hallelujah, Jesus. He says, remember when they used to put prayer requests in that box? So I'm bringing you back a little for a season to a place called Dunn. And I recommend that you get a piece of paper out and write somebody you want to be saved down, or something that's critical to be answered. I need a job, you know. Whatever. I need a good box person up here that can. Well, if we don't get them inside by the end of the service, a laborer will put them in later. Yep, go ahead. Hallelujah. I tell you what. There's faith here. And it's saying it's done. So if I was you, I'd stick something in there. Even if it was for a lollipop. You won't break him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, well, it's okay. You can leave it up there. They need to get up, you know, and walk around a little. This is part of the service, you know, write it out. Only this will be held up the night and day for the people that come and pray through the nights and the days. For in your walk with me, I don't call you to the seasons. For you that obey me, I call for you. Every moment of your life. For who is it that directs your path? Who is it that leads you? Ebas. For in these last days you'll enter into a place of such authority. You who endure such authority. Your eyes will behold many, many outstanding miracles and events that you'll have to say that we're having a visitation from the Lord God Almighty. Well, I wish I could say that, you know, think of stuff like that. All of a sudden, if you saw the whole world in the crowd at the same time, he had about 8 people sitting right down there. All you'd look at the whole crowd and all of a sudden you'd see a group of them just stop and then shift their direction because they're in a collision course with these people to tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've turned people over and watched such unusual circumstances unfold until I said, you do something, don't you? You can't give him somebody's name and think that God don't have people somewhere that can go after him. Maybe he can't talk to them, but he can get somebody that can. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, I can feel done with every person that walks by like there's a determination here. Well, that you know what you're doing. You're coming to a point where you're setting it into motion. Say, it's happening. I know it's done because I passed this point. Now I'm waiting. Do it. This is when the uncertainty, oh well, did I really pray for that right? It all ends right here. Put it in. All right. Although this is already, it is placed in the presence of God as a done situation. I mean, it's been marked already. We prayed over the box, and anybody that puts something in it, the same prayer stands. It's just, you know what was prayed, that you dropped it off in that place called done. And that's what happened. I remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to Moses and Elijah. And the apostles kind of got a look at it, you know. Whoa, let's build a tabernacle here. But you want to know what they were talking about? They were talking about in the 3 years to come that he was going to go where they were, which is Abraham's bosom. They wasn't in heaven. No man has entered into heaven save the Son of Man who is in heaven. At the time of his birth, nobody's went there. They went to a place called paradise of keeping. You know how many thousands of people were there. That's what he was talking about with Elias and Moses about the ascension. And they went back to paradise, and he got ready to lead in Psalms 24. He got ready to take a mighty host of people out. Open your gates, O heaven, for the Lord of hosts is coming through. And he brought them all with him. Leading up to that was Psalms 22. They crucified me. They pierced my hands and my feet. 23, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I fear no evil. 24, open your gates. I'm coming. What happens when we die now? You might get a chance, you know, to look back and say, whoa, my body wasn't as pretty as I thought. For a minute, you might be between two, and a lot of times you just kind of end up there. I heard different testimonies. Sometimes they feel themselves going. Other times, they're just there. Some remember from when they got out of their body and looked, and then was escorted, they went. And some of them got to come back, tell you about it. We're definitely was created to live forever in the beginning. The first DNA slash was a man's days, it'll be one day. It's 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day. Nobody lived a millennial day. They all died out in the 900s that made it that long. The only one to live that out was during the millennial. And he was with his bride too, which is us. He reigned 1,000 years with us in the millennial. Then Satan came back in the garden. This time, the second Adam did what the first one was supposed to do. Throw him out. Then we got a new heaven and a new earth that followed that. Then we went home. I want my mansion next to Jesus' throne. You can stay on heaven's planet if you want. I'm going to the new one he made for us. I look and behold a new heaven and a new earth. Well, if he doesn't live on it, then So much for your theory of having a throne right by His. Hey, we're going to be people glorified. We're going to be people. We're the ones that gave Him His family. We're going to go there forever. And I soaked in the atmosphere of walking into it one time. And I didn't get enough out of the English language to even tell you how you can feel. Just in the atmosphere. I didn't go there actually. I wasn't up there. I was just stepped in the atmosphere of heaven for a minute. I don't know where I was. And no fear, the presence of feeling really whole, an existence that's celebrated every moment. I can't tell you what it was like, except that it made me not want to do anything that could ever keep me from getting there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Sandesi. Juntakrabuhoskesi. Boy, after hearing a message like this morning, Brother Lama, what, you little creature. Where can I drop a prayer off that it'll really be answered? This is that box turned into a place called done for me this morning. Anybody got any jelly or something? I can grease the sides up. I want to get in that box. Is that the place called done you were talking about? Agree with me. Father, I want to thank You with all my heart for these new requests and that came into You, but we've always held this place as a request to both You and something they're turning over not to take a hold of it again. The place called Dunbox. So Father, for everything that's been in here, we haven't visited this box in some time. But I want to renew that presence. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we're calling all these requests done. Done, as in the past. Done. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. When I first went full time, walked off my job, and don't worry, this has got a good end to it. That's all I knew to do after a while was just pray. I'd run out of English. But I didn't know that was working His plan out ahead of me. And in doing so, my first car came. It was in it. And on down the line, then I didn't know that it was Him working the plan. And then we'll know all things work together for the good that love God, called according to His purpose. And I had walked off my job at 30 and gave myself to His whole purpose. You know. But I had a problem because I knew me. Call me to preach? How could He ever do that when I couldn't even give an English oral report in school? But anyway, all those things started coming online that I needed for ministry. And I'm thinking, boy, this is automatic. I didn't know that I prayed His plan out ahead of me. See, I didn't know. And then he said, the sower sowed the word. Satan came immediately to steal it, using persecutions, afflictions, the cares of this life. These last two, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things, which is the God complex. I don't know how many men of God that the devil destroyed when the people come to make a little God out of themselves. And that people were just trying to honor them. They took it to that there's something kind of special with them. You know, after all, is this happening to you? And so the devil would come, and all of this is great. The apostles and all of them testified all the time. But one of the higher level takeouts is the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things. And that lust for other things is the God complex. You know, I'm great. Why, and I didn't choose you. I'm great. And he'd keep feeding them. And the devil was highly successful in taking many, many out. So his main power is deception. If he can get somebody to follow error, he can get them to lead other people into error. So the more that he can evangelize one, I mean, if I was in another religion, what did Jesus say for the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs will follow them that believe. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And cast out devils. Boy, speak with other tongues. He put that in the commission. So if, what did he say? You want to sell out to God? Go. Go into all the world. Da, 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 da. But some religions, I want to sell out. I want to sell out to God. Okay. Let me see. Put this robe on. We want to put you up in a monastery somewhere. And for the rest of your life, you're going to hold up and shut up. Take a vow of silence. What kind of deal is that? Religion? When I jumped into all of this to study, because I knew that everything was going to be pulled on this prayer center, because we're not stopping with just the church. When I was still in Oak Ridge, not even full time a year, I had a vision. I saw this area of town because I knew what the round, I knew what that looked like from way back. So I saw this highway network. I saw that big round building. And it was an aerial view. It was this end of town, okay. And it looked like that I-75 looked like it was there. And there was a lot of empty land then on this side. And what I saw was people, so many people trying to migrate in from everywhere. It must have been something to do with media. But for a time, they migrated in from everywhere, and you just couldn't see the end of the crowd. And I saw that. 38 years ago. Well, one time I saw a kind of like a revival, it looked like. I was sitting on the front row smirking, and suddenly I had a vision, and there was a gray area between us and a real bright realm. So I saw that gray area, and I says, oh, that's the principality of the air. We got to get past him. And then, now people fought their way through it. And one of them put his hand up there, and his hand was anointed. He'd pray for people. One got his mind through it, and he was just really teacher, you know, really. So, but some was looking. One finally made it through. When he came back, his whole body glowed the same color that was. And then I saw from him that these flares would just shoot all over to dark places, and they would erupt in basically revival or something. So I'm going to get on this, you know. I'm going, oh my goodness, that must be principalities and powers and that gray area. The Lord was very plain. He said, no, it's not. And I said, well, what is it? He said, your flesh. What? What? See? Well, in the prophecy for us towards the end here, he said there'd be a revival of media. And boy, this was a long time ago, you know, so it wasn't set up like I'm. Tim told me when I had an office over on Memorial, second story office when I first came. And Tim comes walking in one day, you know, and he just kind of tells me about the different things that was going on, and well, maybe I shouldn't cover. Well, he told me, and there was a computer there. It was about big as a car, and he didn't want it in your lap. That'd be like trading your pet dog for an elephant. He said right back then, he says, one day, he said, these computers will be small and every home will be linked up by one. I'm going, oh boy, what a prophecy. You know? But look what's happened. See, in my desire and hunt and tracking God down, I'm wanting to know. I know when the 5,000 came, and if they were wanting to be healed, I meant they came to see him and really wanted to be healed. He could just lift his hands or wave his hand at them and say, "Be you healed," and every one of them would be healed. See, I know people can be healed by the spoken word. And even if it's a recording, it's still truth. But anyway, I've seen this massive setup into homes and things. And they weren't just talking and things. Things were happening and people were beginning to gather people together to watch these things. And it started happening in their groups, and they'd bring more sick people, and it would happen more and more and more until it was just raging like a forest fire. I saw people get past the flesh and then shoot, like their ministry gets so powerful that sparks would shoot from it to dark areas, and then revival would break out there. I saw all of this in our future. Tulsa's in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. If there was one thing I am, a stubborn, that's why I won in the beginning praying in tongues. Were you aware of what it was doing exactly or no? No. But I got stubborn about doing it because it's the only way I could stay in there for the hours I promised. And I left my job. But I was really stubborn, and I know when he called me and showed me those things, he'd be relying on the stubbornness. That's why the prophecy had the word endurance in it. I went and read that prophecy the other day or other month. And I thought, boy, did I say that? I'm thinking, this is really pretty good. Did I say all of that? And then the word endurance is in there, that we would have to understand endurance. And I don't know if you would list 20 years or something as endurance, or 23 or 24. I don't know. But it filled up at times, and we thought, hey, it's getting off the ground. And a whole bunch of people said, I don't like the side of your head that you comb your hair on, and I'm leaving. Oh, okay. I'll have to comb through that. See. But I know Jesus could heal them in the masses. And what I saw was the people in the gatherings to listen to the truth was instigating what was being preached, and people was getting healed everywhere, and just dark places were just disappearing. I mean, we're looking at something. We're looking at something. Now, I don't know how many people that he's got anywhere around the world and everything. And I hope there's thousands and thousands like us. I hope they are. But if they're not, we're not going to stop.
Well, I need my personal needs ministered to quite adequately. And
you can have that. You can have that. The more God we can get, the more we can give to you. The more you can receive, the more we can give. What do you want? Do you want to stand before him and he'll go, well done. Well done. But the degree that he loves us, he said, you can build upon that foundation, the chief cornerstone that Jesus made. Building stones, apostles, foundation. He says, wood and hay and stubble, all that. Because it's going to be tried as by fire. And all that stuff will burn. And if you got Jesus Christ crucified in your life, you got born again, then you're okay. He said, you're okay, even though you just had all that trash in your life. He loves you so much that he just went ahead and burned all that out, and you was just standing there with your salvation that you were in. Thank God he has that much mercy. How many of you ever felt like calling on his mercy? I know I could have stopped, but I didn't. I didn't stop. I stole a quarter. Have you ever did things and know you could have stopped it long before you acted like, oh, I got free? And then when you finally do face it, you go, I'm sorry. I was just rolling around with the flesh and stuff like that. But I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't have been doing it. I'm sorry. Aren't you glad that he reaches out and takes you back every time? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're guilty of that. And then when we got a father, then the way he wants us to look at him, not by your works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. Yeah. Not by your works. Lest any man should boast, it's the gift of God. My healing. Everything he's done for me. I can't cheapen it by acting like I'm earning it somehow. It was unearnable. Not by works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. Everything he did for me and gave to me. And I finally learned how to approach him a little better. You know, when I was a baby, I had a list every time.
And I want this, and I want that. Because I am an aristocrat.
And then the boy said, no, you're not. You're really a brat. Oh, he said that. I found out how to approach him. Like Gary said, you got a list of good things to help convince him. No, it's not by your works. Lest any man should boast. The reason he's doing what he's doing for you, it's what he paid for. It's the gift of God. On the day of reward, you know, we're going to get to see what we could use those principles for it and overcome and succeeded for him just because he said that we could. I don't know. I wish I knew how he's going to hand the rewards out. I wish there's a lot more information on it. Maybe not too much. But I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to see Bill again. I want to see Steve. Hallelujah. Whew. The prayer center is always dived in. Like it's an ocean to the praying in tongues and stuff. Now, when I hear those things like I heard today, I want you to know what is happening, but I'll get somebody up usually because it got real easy for me to start thinking I was something. And one of the first times that happened was in my office, and Tim was sitting there, and they made a statement about somebody that I was going to go before. I got a request that I could see, and they were president of some nation, and another one was going to speak for the Senate, and he couldn't make it, and that kind of thing. And I says, oh, I guess that prophecy was true about me. I'd stand before kings. No, Tim says, I've seen two ministries destroyed just for that attitude. Have you ever been smitten very hard by a hand of correction from somebody of authority? That desk was only that far off the ground or the carpet, but I got under it. So thank God for death in that area, persecution, affliction, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches in the God complex, the lust for other things. And if the reason he's using you is because he bore all your faults and troubles and downcasts and failure, he bore all of it. He turned around and gave you his standing in the behalf of it. It was because you believed what he did, not the great, great person that you are. Do you remember it's a parable, but sometimes I write my own. They're pretty exciting. Just per se, or for chance. So I was waiting in a big room for my reward. Jesus was going to come and give it to me. I got whole nation saved almost and everything. He was going to come in and give me the reward. I was waiting. La, la, la. Pretty soon he comes in. Oh, Jesus, could you just roll that, you know, that curtain you pulled back that other day? Can I just see the nations that I affected and got saved? Could you show me one more time? Yeah, okay, one more time. Here you go. Yeah. Whew, look at that. All of a sudden, I hear the door creak. And a cleaning lady comes in. Cleaning lady. I said, Jesus, Is this my reward room and thing? Yes. Cleaning lady. The cleaning lady just came in. And he says, Roberson, Roberson, if that's still my name. He said, you ought not think of yourself more highly than you think. Let me tell you something. That revivals you had with the 50,000 in the arms and churches and stuff. And that one that you rocketed out from. He said, this cleaning lady, she was not only the cleaning lady, but she walked the aisles and the floors all night long, cleaning and praying for every person that sat in a chair for a mighty revival to break out here every single day. And just because you're the mouth, you think you're going to get the greater reward. She's here, isn't she? Hallelujah. She's here. Well, how about my opportunities? The second parable he showed me had to do with that. It was always the ego part of me he was killing. I was walking down the King's Highway. There were such massive crowds on each side they had to have angel control. I was walking towards the reward room, the throne, the stairs to the throne, and the Father sitting there, and Jesus, and I had angel escorts and crowd control, everything. Now remember, I didn't make this thought. I saw this. La, la, la. Na. Wow. Woo. Whatever, you know. Man, I sure did do a good job on the planet there. And I'm standing on a step looking, and I can see an outline for God, but then I could see more next to him, a person, Jesus. Not just saying they were together. I'm standing there waiting, you know, that how close should I go for my reward? And I'm just standing there like this, and I felt a little bitty hand slip into mine. And I look down, there's a real cute little girl about this tall, just standing there holding my hand. She said, "Hi, mister. I'm a child of war. I'm a child of abortion. And I'm a child of famine. I grew up here. I don't know anything else." Said the Lamb, "He loves us. I grew up here being loved by the Lamb. You have no idea how He loves us and treated us." And she said, "Mister, if I could, I'd trade places with you for a chance to go back. Just for a chance to do something for him. I'd gladly go, endure anything, just to do something for him. How about you?" Hallelujah. How about you? Come on. You're free. We live in a government we can operate in yet without being beat. Come on. How about you? How about you? Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's do something for him. Let's give him a revival. Whew. Woo. Hallelujah. I don't know another word for that. Yes, okay. It is my pleasure when I find those that I can anoint beyond what's been walked in places where my name is named. But hear what I would say, Hikai. Hear what I would say. Hear what I would say. As the understanding of faith takes your heart and builds itself, you'll see and you'll say to yourself, how come I couldn't do this 6 months ago? How come I can do this now? See, for things of the Spirit are not generally understood with the head, the elbows, but with the heart. And I found enough to move a major direction towards the heart in this place. So hang on for change. It's at the door. Ino hasaleji. Behut uetinina. Gena sorechureke. Zona la koya chandeke. Enasa. Yes, sir. I wasn't going to interpret that when I can't help it now. The road the enemy finds most interesting into you is to stop you from doing the things daily that free me to move in my plan for you day after day. For anyone who stays in my presence for lengths of time and abides in me, you're freeing me to get closer to the fullness of your call and your heart and do things that I can't do on a normal basis. For to walk in more of what I have for you doesn't necessarily depend on your title. It's where you want to walk and what you want to receive that I have for you. Did I not say to all that these signs would follow them that believe? Who? Not the named certain persons. Them that believes. I think I'm going to speak English. Remember the last revival of sensationalism when the devil come in and did certain things to cause the people to listen to what they had to say. There'll be more moves like that. But don't be deceived. Stay strong. False signs and wonders will be a mainstay in the last days. For by the church, who has not moved forward in the things of the Spirit, the move that I'm going to loose here will be judged by many of them. So remember these words. Some things are getting very close. You will be blessed.